Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazAndPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, good morning, or I should say good afternoon. This is Paula Nunes.
And this is Taz Powers.
Boy, we are so honored to have such a great guest with us today. We have Don Miguel Ruiz, and he's the author of The Four Agreements, a wisdom book that is used by billions of people. Actually, Don Miguel Ruiz was born into a family of healers and raised in rural Mexico by his mother, a healer, and his grandfather, a shaman. The family anticipated that Miguel would embrace their centuries-old legacy of healing and teaching and carry forward the esoteric Toltec knowledge. But instead, he was distracted by a modern lifestyle. Miguel attended a medical school and became a surgeon. So what a big difference that is from what he's doing today. A near-death experience changed his life. Late one night in the early 1970s, he awoke suddenly, having fallen asleep at the wheel of his car. At that instant, the car careened into a wall of concrete. Don Miguel remembers that he was not in his physical body as he watched himself pull his two friends to safety. Stunned by the experience, he began an intensive practice of self-inquiry. He devoted himself to the mastery of ancient ancestral wisdom, studying earnestly with his mother and completing an apprenticeship with a powerful shaman in the Mexican desert. His grandfather, who had passed on, continued to teach him through his dreams. In the tradition of the Toltec philosophy, he has dedicated his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec. Welcome, Miguel Ruiz. We are so honored to have you with us today. And we ask the people out there if when they're having a relationship with a person, whether it's a friend or a relative or a lover, do they ask themselves, are they in the same reality as I am in? We'll be talking about that today. Miguel, are you with us? Hello? I don't know if he can hear us. Miguel? Hello? You there?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, we're so honored to have you with us. We have introduced you and gave your background and how you became a shaman. And part of the introduction I read that was your grandfather came through your dreams and passed on some of the teachings through your dreams. When did this start?
Oh, well, I knew my grandfather, and he was my teacher for many years before he passed away. And years after that, he kept coming in my dreams. And every now and then, I had the honor to spend some time with him in my dreams.
So he came into your dreams before you had your near-death experience?
Oh, yes. Long before.
So did
I grew up with my mother, my father, and I used to spend a lot of time with my grandfather when I was a teenager.
So
he
after
was
he,
one of my main teachers.
So after he passed away, was he nudging you to come back to the Toltec tradition?
Well, yes. The word Toltec, as you should know, means artist. And the Toltec tradition is the tradition of the artist, and that artist is all around the world. It's not just in Mexico. It's a whole way of life where we just enjoy to be alive, and our artists, we can say the story that we create about ourselves and about everything that surrounds us. We create a whole universe with the world. And in that point of view, we can see that every single human who lives in this beautiful planet is an artist.
I don't think we all understand that we are.
Yes, you know, hardly anybody has the awareness of being an artist. But just by speaking the language that you speak, by telling the story about yourself, but try to explain why you believe or not believe in things, you know, that really is one of the most beautiful and wonderful arts. How to, and the way we do it is by using the word, which is of the symbology that we understand.
Well, Don, Miguel, I really wonder, your special book that you've, you know, written, The Four Agreements,
yeah.
How did your book come about? What was really the story behind it?
Well, you know, there was the need of communicate what I know with whoever want to listen. But at that time, I have a lot of apprentices. I was going around the States, and I had the need to express with words what I learned during my whole life. Then with the Four Agreements, I guide everybody to become authentic and to start to pretend to be what they are not, because it's much more easy to be yourself than pretend to be what you are not.
Hmm.
Then so, that need comes these four agreements, four simple agreements that when we apply it, we can see that it broke millions of agreements that we made with ourselves and with all these people around us who teach us how to create the whole story.
Now, the four agreements are very simple, but somehow they become complicated because our life is so fast and technical. Have you observed people having trouble using these simple agreements?
Well, of course, because during the whole life, we practice to do exactly the opposite. We practice to take everything so personal. We practice to fulfill everything that we don't know or that we don't understand with assumptions. And, of course, we never practice to be impeccable with the word, but we use the word against ourselves and against people that we love. But what we really do is our best, and the four agreement is the one who give life to the other three, that make it possible, the other three.
We were going to concentrate today on the agreement, don't make assumptions. Does this include in the communication with others, to be clear with others, does this include communication with ourselves?
It includes both, definitely. You know, in our interaction with all the people around us, they give us certain kind of information, but we can say that we only hear what we want to hear, not what they really try to say. And many times the people, because, you know, fear or whatever emotions that they have at the time, they don't have the courage to speak the truth. And sometimes they give a very few information, and we make an assumption of what they really mean to when they want to say something. And when we don't accomplish the information, we finish it by making assumptions. And many times when we are dealing with ourselves, we make assumptions about all the different possibilities of things that can happen around us. You know, like, for example, when one of our children come late at home, and we make the assumption that something happened to our child, we can think, well, I don't know, maybe he's too drunk, maybe he used drugs, maybe he's in jail, maybe he have an accident, and we make lots and lots of assumptions. And later, when the child arrives, we find out that none of the assumptions was correct. Then we create a whole storm of emotions where we really don't have the need to suffer by making all those assumptions and believing that it was real.
We make those assumptions just by observing body language from others, we may think.
Well, we make assumptions almost about everything around us, and we do that almost automatically because that's what we do for so many years. There was so many years by watching movies, seeing soap operas, hearing interactions between the people that we love and people that we know, and everything that doesn't complete the information that they share, we fill it with assumptions. Then we learn really to make assumptions for so long, and we practice every single day that it becomes automatic. Then it's so easy for everybody to make assumptions about everything. And the biggest assumption we can say that we have is the assumption that everybody will judge us the way we judge ourselves, that everybody will try to punish us the way that we punish ourselves. Mm-hmm. And this is not truth at all.
Well, the response, you know, that we get from people, or we intuit what they're doing and that kind of thing. So what do we do about this? What you're saying is maybe we need to ask more questions. How do we clarify this? How do we get into the meat of it?
Well, the first step is always to be aware that we are doing that. When we have the awareness, then we can change it, and we can avoid a lot of all those emotions that we create, a lot of that turmoil that exists in our mind. Because to fill up everything with all those assumptions really create a lot of suffering. And at a certain point, we also make the assumption that we are here in this life to suffer, and it's not truth at all. Then the first step is always to be aware that we are making assumptions and focus our attention when we make those assumptions, and only then we can start controlling all those assumptions by catching ourselves as soon as we are making assumptions. And instead of make the assumption, it's better just to ask and get the most information that we can get. You know, then it's so important to learn something that really, really helps. And what we need to do is to learn to listen, and to listen what people want to say, not really what we want to hear. Because we change a lot of the information that people give us. You know, like when, for example, if you're a young lady and you meet a boy that you like him a lot because you feel that a strong physical attraction. And even if this man is telling you all what he don't like about himself, all the self-judgments that person has, all the way that he suffered, the way that he judged everybody around, and you can feel that, well, I love him so much that my love will change him. And you only see the positive things about this man, but you don't want to see all the negative side of this man, then you will really feel that your love will make that man change. And then you went to that relationship, you give yourself completely, and then you find out that that man is not changing, it's exactly the same, and that your love didn't change him. And you was making the big assumption that because you feel all that for this man, because you really, really love him, he will change for the love that he has for you. It's a big, big assumption, and sometimes we pay a big price for this kind of assumptions.
And we assume that other people's reality is the same as ours.
Yes. We make the assumption that they think the way we think, that they feel the way we feel, that they judge the way we judge. Even when you are, in a relationship or in a matrimony, you make the assumption of what that your husband or your beloved knows what you want, and you don't even say anything. Then when that your husband don't do what he's supposed to do because he's supposed to know you, and he don't do it, then you feel so hurt.
And he's not a mind reader.
Exactly. And this time, and we make the assumption that they know us that well, that he should know what he should do in certain circumstances. And with that, we make all those kind of assumptions, and we can see that the result of making all those assumptions is really taking us to judge everybody around us for not knowing what we want.
Now, assumptions can be that bigger than relationships. We can it could be community, it could be government. Are we to question the larger things that are fed to us? I mean, we hear a lot of things on television and in the newspapers and computers. Are we to question the larger picture?
Well, if you can see the information that we receive via television, radio, internet, is not really complete. They only share what they want us to hear, not what really is happening. That's why it's so important for us to learn to listen. Because when we learn to listen, we can even see a little further than what they want to say. And as you see, they push you to make a lot of assumptions. Then it is the same thing that we do in our own head with ourselves. You know, we make the assumption that we should be the way we believe we are, but we are not that way. Many times we don't even give ourselves enough information for us to know what we really want or what we don't want.
Well, if someone doesn't give us enough of the feedback, then decisions here are not really made very well.
Well, exactly. We can see how, you know, media manipulate what people say all around the world. It's not just in the States. It's in every single country in the world. And most of them already have a reason why to do that.
It's like we read the headlines in the newspaper and we don't read the story underneath.
Yes.
And then we assume the headline is
yes.
The whole picture.
And, you know, they tell us exactly the way we should believe, the way we should think, and many times we just agree with them without even notice that we've been manipulated by all those that information. And this is not really good or bad or right or wrong. It's just the way it is.
But
when we have awareness, we don't really need to believe what they say. But we can listen, and then we can make our own decisions, our own choices.
Are we ruled by outside events? I mean, some people are in, like people in Afghanistan right now are in a war. I mean, how do we step outside of such large events?
Well, you know, there's events that are happening all the time all around the world. And we're being pulled from outside, but we also pull from inside. You know, we can judge the whole planet and say that there's no justice, that there in that there are war, that there is starvation, that it's not fair, etc., etc. But we have to first see what we have in our own mind, because how can we claim that the whole planet has no justice when we don't have justice in our own head? You know, we humans are the only animals on Earth who punish themselves 1,000 times for the same mistake. And this is not justice. Justice is to pay one time for every mistake that we made. But we pay so many times for the same mistake, and not just that, we make to pay others 1,000 times for the same mistake. How many times we make paid to our husband or our wife for a mistake that they made who know how long ago, and every time that we remember, we punish again the same person for the same mistake.
Not only them, we're punishing ourselves.
Oh, definitely. We start with ourselves, because there is no justice with ourselves. You know, we have the worst judge that is possible. You know, the worst judge in our life is ourselves. We are the worst judge. And we really cannot hide from ourselves. And that's why we live our life with shame and guilt and all those emotions that really are burning us from inside.
Now, how do we go beyond that? I mean, how do we... We're almost programmed to do this. It's a human...
We was domesticated to be that way. And like we say a little before, always the first step is awareness. To be aware that this is happening, that this is what we believe. And after awareness is to focus our attention and start changing what we believe. Because we can see that we are the ones who create either heaven or hell in our head. And that heaven or hell is nothing but a story that we create by using the word. Then when we use the word impeccable, for sure we will create heaven in our mind. But when we not use the word impeccably, then what we create in our mind is that hell. But this is our wrong creation. Then when we have the awareness that we create the story where we live and only we can change it, then it's up to us to change our own story, because we are the artists. We create the story, and it's a masterpiece of art. It doesn't matter if it's heaven or hell. It's a masterpiece of art. It's not about being good or bad or right or wrong. It's how we use the word. Then, like I say again, when we are impeccable, the story that we create, the place where we live, it becomes heaven. But if we are not impeccable with the word, the result will be the hell that we create with ourselves.
We need our erasers.
Well, we could pretend like we're starting with a blank canvas and we're creating a master of art here in our own life.
And this is exactly what we are doing. And the pencil is the word. And we create our own story. But this story is only true for us, but for nobody else.
Can we, I think I heard somewhere that the Toltec dream, you can visualize, or maybe our life that we're living right now is actually a dream, as well as our other dreams?
it is a dream. We are dreaming right now. It is happening in this very moment. We are dreaming even if our brain is completely awake. Because what we are perceiving, we don't see objects. What we see is light, and light projects a reflection of all those objects into our eye. And that goes directly into our brain, and our brain will make the interpretation according what we believe, according everything that we know. It's just like when we see in a mirror, we already know that whatever is inside the mirror is not real. Is relative, is virtual. That if you want to touch what is inside the mirror, you only will touch the surface of the mirror, but you already also know that everything that is outside the mirror is real, and you can grab it, you can touch it, you can feel it, but you don't feel what is inside the mirror. And the same thing happened with us in our eyes. Our eyes is just like that mirror in the wall. Then everything that is inside our eye is just like everything that is inside the mirror. The only difference between the mirror and the wall in your eyes is that behind your eyes there is a brain. And brain have all the information that you learn during your whole life. And based in that information, you will try to explain what you are perceiving. You try to make sense of everything that you're perceiving. Then if you perceive a tree, because of your brain, it's not just a tree. It will be either a beautiful tree or an ugly tree, a big tree, small tree. You qualify the tree by using everything that you know. And every person who perceives the tree will qualify it in a completely different way. And everybody seeing the same tree. But when you see the tree in a mirror, you just see a tree. But with your brain and with your knowledge, the tree is not just a tree. You can create a whole story about a tree. You can say, well, this is the tree who came from the very beginning. This is the tree where Buddha sit and all the information come to Buddha, etc., etc. You can create any story about the tree, and if the story is not truth, but the tree is truth. And this is what we do with everything that we perceive. Then it's perhaps so easy to understand that we are dreaming all the time, and that includes this moment. What keeps us here and now is the fact that we are perceiving light in this moment, and that keeps us in the present time. But if we don't focus our attention in what we're perceiving right now, our brain has the tendency to start changing the dream. And that's what we are daydreaming. When you catch somebody daydreaming, you say, hey, come back here. This is the reality.
But whose reality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have this blank canvas, and we can create this beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the creators of our own reality.
Exactly.
Now, how does that overlap with other people's realities?
Oh, it's just dreaming also at the same time, and everybody creates their own reality. And in their reality, what they perceive of you is not what you really are. They will perceive you and qualify you the way they perceive you. And this is in their reality, you will be only a secondary character. The main character of their story are themselves. But they also exist in your dream, but in your dream they are nothing but a secondary character. And the truth is that you really don't know hardly anything about them. You only know what you believe about them. Then that's why when they take things personally, it's because they don't understand what we're sharing in this moment. Because if they knew that they are only a secondary character in their story, how can they take anything personally when the truth is that they don't know anything about the other person? How can you take something personally what somebody says something about you when you know that these people hardly know you? They only know what they believe about you, and what they believe about you is so far from reality that it's even ridiculous to take things personally.
Now, by being able to think this way, you take the energy out of any negative thoughts that are coming your way because you're not accepting it personally, so there's no energy on it.
Exactly. Then that give you immunity in the direction that you have with everybody around you. You have a big advantage over other people. Because when they react so badly for whatever happened because they take personally, you don't react that bad because you know there's nothing to take personally, and that makes you think so clear and you're so calm and you got the best solutions in that interaction. Then you can say that it's very important for us to have police, to have an army, to have all those rules, all those laws, that we can write contracts, and that there's laws that make all those contracts valid instead of just to believe what they say. Because everybody are facing their own justice, the justice that they have in their mind, but it's only truth for them. That's why it's so important, all the agreements that we made with our own kind. That's why it's important to have Congress and to make lawmakers, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, even the lawmakers now, or even someone's family member, their minds are closed. So in order to get into it, what do you do?
Well, first of all, like we said, be impeccable with your words. That give you, you know, the creation of heaven by using the word and the right word. Not to take anything personal, keep immunity, you can your head clean, clear, and you can easily overpower whatever comes out of you. Not to make assumptions that give you immunity in the interaction that you have mainly with yourself. And the fourth one is always do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to overdo or do less than your best. But by doing your best, is enough to have respect, beginning with yourself and with everybody else. And with that respect, you live your life in peace.
I think respect is a very important word.
Yes, it is. It's that assured peace, not between yourself, but between the interaction that you have with people that you love, and respect between nations, that create real peace, no more war.
And if we're able to find ourselves, this is like the key to freedom.
You know, this is something that almost everybody believes that is so difficult to find ourselves. But if you really notice, honey, you are always with you. Where can you go that you are not there?
And you have to be your own best friend.
Exactly. You need to be really kind with yourself. You need to stop judging yourself and to accept yourself just the way you are, to relearn how to love yourself and to enjoy every single moment of your life. In other words, to live your life as an artist. Again, the word artist means Toltec. That this is true for the language that the Aztecs used to speak, which is the Nahuatl, but can be translated in every language in the world. And artists have the same meaning in every language in the world. Then it's not just one place in the world, but it's all the planet is exactly the same because every single human is really an artist.
When you say that, the word that comes to my mind is creator. And and when you think of yourself as being a creator,
yes,
that brings a whole different light on.
Yes,
on,
we can say that we humans recreate that what exists already. We can talk about the supreme creator who created everything that exists. But we humans, we recreate with the word everything that already exists. Then we use the word in order to create a whole story and describe everything that we perceive. And that is great art.
We've created our own home around us. We've created our own family. I mean, looking at it this way is beautiful.
Yes, and we create an image of ourselves. And that's what we want to project, and we want to perceive, to be perceived that way for everybody around us. And, but it's not exactly true, because they will perceive us the way they perceive us, not the way we want them to perceive us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that, we no longer waste our time trying to project an image of ourselves. And when that happens, we become authentic, because we no longer try to live our life expecting that people's opinion will tell us the way we should be. Then we live our life in our way. We no longer have the need to be good enough for other people's points of view, for other people's opinion.
Now, were you the only child in your family?
No, I'm number 13 in the youngest one.
Lucky 13.
Your mother had her hands full.
Yes.
So,
and she was a great teacher for each one.
Pardon me?
And she was a great teacher for each one.
For each one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look back and the relationship you had with your mom, was there anything that stands out that was a big learning lesson for you, or some kind of special experience that you've had with your mom that you would like to share with us?
Well, number one, I feel myself extremely lucky to live my life with my mother, mainly with my father also, and the best that I learned from her is to have faith. You know, when I grow up, we grow up in a family where everything is possible. If we really want something, we can get it. We can make truth any dream that we have in our mind. Then faith is to live in something 100% without any doubt. And that's what I learned from my mother. She was a great, great healer. There was all the time a lot of people going with her with the hope to be healed. And I see so many miracles around her. Then she really showed me how to have faith and how to apply that faith. Because I learned that the best way to apply faith is to have faith in ourselves, to never doubt of what we can do if we want to do it. Then we can accomplish anything that we want to. The only thing that can stop us is ourselves, our own fear. We create our own limitations. And with all those limitations, we create our own hell. But if it's our choice to live in hell, well, God bless us. It's okay. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. If we want drama, why not to create drama?
Mm-hmm.
It's about respect. We respect other people's hell. If they decide to live in hell, well, it's their hell.
Now, the Taltic wisdom has been passed down from generation to generation.
Yes.
And you've passed it down to your son also,
well,
right?
My three children, and now there's two of them that they're really taking a big advantage of that. you know, with my middle son, we just finished to write a book that is coming by the end of this year. This book is finished. It's in the hand of the editor right now. And like in a couple of weeks, something like that will be ready for publishing.
Ooh. Will it be ready for the Alchemy Conference?
Possibly, I'm not sure, but possibly yes.
What is the name of your new book, your son and your new book?
It's The Fifth Agreement.
The Fifth Agreement. Ooh. And does the Fifth Agreement bring all the other agreements together?
Well, it's what complete the other four. It's what I didn't teach. Well, I teach to my apprentices, but I never wanted to publish. Then my son, Don Jose, he started teaching for more than 7 years, and it's what he called the training for angels, which the word angel means messenger. Then it's nothing to do with any religion. It's just the word angel means messenger. And in this point of view, every single human is a messenger. But the question is, what kind of message do you deliver? What is the message that you deliver to the ones that you love? What is the message that you deliver to your beloved, to your children, to your parents? What is the message that you deliver to your brothers and sisters, to your community, to your country? What is the message that you deliver to humanity? But most important of all is, what is the message that you deliver to yourself? Then the Fifth Agreement is a guide to become a messenger of truth and stop being a messenger of lies, because it's all those lies what really create what we know as hell. When truth is always guiding you to create your own heaven.
And that comes from
important.
And the truth comes from within?
The truth is the only thing that really exists. We can say that the truth exists long before the creation of humanity, and will exist long after the extinction of humanity. And the truth doesn't need that anybody believe on it. On the other hand, the lies only survive, only live, because we believe on those lies. We create the lies, we keep believing those lies, we give life to this life, and they will live only because we believe it. But the day that we no longer believe all those lies will disappear, because they will not survive the presence of the truth.
Don Miguel, you know, everyone has their own truth.
That's what we believe. Do you really have your own truth?
Everybody, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody doesn't believe the same way.
Uh-huh.
So,
then
you know,
where is the lie?
Where is the lie?
that's the lie. Is truth only love?
Well, we can call love, but is love really this truth love? Is that love what makes so many people to suffer? Is that love who asks you to sacrifice yourself for something that you don't even believe?
Very good.
And we call it love? Is that truth? Is love truth?
No. Maybe this is so simple that it's right in front of our eyes and we can't even see it.
Exactly. But I see truth. I hear truth. I smell truth. But I really cannot define truth with words, because we create the words and we know the words, that's what we learn, then the only thing that we know are only words. But the truth has no words because the truth exists before we create the words. Then with the words, we only can get as close as possible to the truth. And this is that what scientists do. A scientist is an artist who uses the word to get as close to the truth as possible.
Well, that's
that
nicely.
Is a scientist.
That's nicely said. Now, you said that a legend of Atlantis shows that the sun entered the sixth age in 1992. What does that really mean for humanity?
Well, honey, this is just one of the symbols. And the truth is that it doesn't mean anything. It will mean whatever we want it to mean. It's just a symbol who let everybody know that with the change of the light in the sun will guide us to get closer to what we know as the truth. And with that, we can let go more and more the superstitions. We can let go more and more the fanaticism. And we can live our life with more love and more peace. That we can really enjoy life the most we can. But as you see, it's just one symbol who only have a meaning if we keep it a meaning. And because it's just a symbol, we can take away the meaning if we wanted to take it away. Because it's just a symbol, and we create a symbol.
So you, both you and your son are going to be in Los Angeles the 23rd through the 25th at the International Alchemy Conference. What will you be talking about there?
Not the FIFA women, I guess.
Very good. That's what I thought you were going to say.
or maybe it's my son, the one who's going to talk about the FIFA women. I don't know. Or maybe both. I really don't know. But it will be very interesting either way.
So it's not pre... I mean, the script. You don't have a script in mind. It just happens when you speak in front of people?
I never prepare anything. Just when I'm in the lecture, I just start speaking, and all will depends on what I perceive from more people.
Very
and
good. Because it depends.
The only thing I know is that will be very interesting. Because I enjoy it. I do what I love to do.
Well, you probably what comes through is what the audience needs to hear.
Yes, I think so.
So you're an angel.
We all are angels. What? We may not have that awareness, but we are. You know, if you see your own life, since you was a little girl, you give a lot of messengers all around, and you receive a lot of messages also. Then we share and receive messages all the time. We are messengers. We are angels.
Well, sometimes, I think this happens to everyone, but sometimes things just come out of my mouth and I don't know where they came from, but the other person was supposed to hear it.
Well, it happened to everybody, honey.
Yes.
It everybody happened.
So
but what is important is for us to be aware the kind of message that we deliver, because some of the messages are extremely negative, we can say. When we gossip about people, when we put people down with judgments, all those kind of messengers we give it without the awareness of what we really are. But once we have the awareness, everything shifts. Remember when the last words of the Christ is, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do.
And sometimes we force our reality onto someone else. like?
Well, we have the need to control, and the need to control, it comes just because we want them to be the way we believe they are. Because when we are not what we believe they are, we feel that they are hurting us. That's why we want to control our children, our beloved, our friends. We want to tell them what to do with their lives because we are afraid that perhaps they are not good enough, strong enough, or intelligent enough that we can make their own decisions and guide their own lives. But if we respect them, we will allow them to do the best they can, and we will be so happy for every accomplishment that they have. And for sure, if they need any kind of help, they will ask for it. Then we need to respect their own creation.
When we give other people that much freedom, it gives them freedom to express and create.
Yes. The freedom to be themselves as we want the freedom to be ourselves.
Well, that's a big sigh there because we just wish that we all could be that way. But it's a learning curve. I think we need to learn to be that free.
Well, it is the time for us to change. There's no doubt about it.
Do you see the change coming to humanity? I mean, because you travel and you go to other countries and.
Well, it is happening. It is happening. I know it's happening. There's no doubt about it. And yes, we are ready. You know, like everything we're teaching right now, it will be a blasphemy that happened 10 years ago.
Sometimes. Maybe it's my own reality, but I have this look on like I'm thinking, oh, everyone is learning to love more, and so I'm looking at reality that way. And then other times, from behind, I feel like, oh, we're not learning fast enough. But
right.
That's just my reality.
And both are truth. That is depends what point of view we use. Because right now, as you see, science and technology, they are changing so fast, but psychology is still so behind. And it's what is changing right now. Psychology is changing. Then everything that we are talking about right now is just pure psychology. It's like I say, it has nothing to do with religion. It's just pure psychology.
Well, we want everyone to know that we've been talking to Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements, and soon to have a new book out, The Fifth Agreement, and he will be in Los Angeles for the Alchemy Conference at the LA Conference Center, October 23rd through the 25th. So we thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on your show.
We've enjoyed our conversation, and hopefully everyone knows that they're an artist.
Yes, that's the best part.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
You get all my love.
Oh, we send you our love, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Taz, that was a wonderful, wonderful interview, and we are so lucky to have had him on our show. To all our listeners, have a good day. Bye-bye.